Welcome back to The Zone, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Jason Anderson.
16 hours live and local every single day. It's ESPN Louisville. We continue right here on this Wednesday. Dave School will join us at 5 o'clock. We already have the song picked out, so you'll find out. This is not a last minute trying to figure out on the fly, just on the spot trying to do that. It's not going to be the case. Although if it was, we do need one time to do the end of the world, as we know. Just to give it a shot. 6 o'clock, TV out. Matt Norlander, one of the many talents he has is knowing every single word to that song, and it's on his resume as well. Matt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, but I missed what song you were talking about.
End of the World as We Know It.
You know what? I don't know every single word to that song.
It's too bad.
It's almost a point of pride. It's like the it's like the 47th best R.E.M. song. So.
And you know what? Every word to the first 46.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
For sure.
One spot away.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back on as we get rolling here. I know I was a moving target there, but the final 2 weeks of the NCAA tournament are just absurd. So
absolutely,
I'm happy to finally be joining you again.
No problem at all. I appreciate it. We'll start off with this because we've been talking grad transfers today because Kerry Blackshear available, and certainly he would be a big addition to either Louisville or Kentucky. And now you've got the grad transfer proposal from the NCAA Division I Council that could be ruled on Friday. How much has your coverage of college basketball over the years changed with the grad transfer rules and how much rosters are moving and fluctuating, and there's such a fluid sort of dynamic to it now that we've got all these guys that could be instant impact players?
For me,
yeah.
Thankfully, not too much.
Okay.
Like it has for everyone that covers the sport, because you have to be kind of aware of the grad transfers that might actually matter. And then for my purposes, when I do my ranking of every single team in the sport, I have to be on top of that stuff because those additions can sometimes, honestly, they can make a difference between a team being 30th and a team being 55th. And then a fan base being sort of angry and a fan base being really angry. But thankfully, and this is not to take away from my good friends in the media, you will not find me ever tweeting grad transfer updates on my Twitter feed. I'm not seeking this information. I'm not tweeting about this information. The number of grad transfers in general and then grad transfers as well, it is, it's funny you bring it up because I was texting with two coaches last night about this. And, like, it's a necessary beast, I guess, a necessary evil. But the whole transfer stuff in general, like, the kids should have the choice, but it is just added, it's time-consuming, added stress, added an element to the coaching profession that was there 5 years ago, but probably to about 50% of the degree that it is now, and, frankly, almost didn't exist 15 years ago. Again, the player should have the right to go wherever they want to go to. And, you know, I'm not breaking out a violin for these coaches, but from March 1 until about June 15th, between losing guys and then trying to get these guys to commit to wherever they're going to commit to, it's a big-time process. And then if you add in, like, guys that get new jobs and all that comes with it, just the whole transfer process, man, it's another just beast unto itself.
Is it a problem? The Division I Council voting on whether or not they want to extend the one scholarship for a grad transfer. If he does not graduate in that year from that grad program he has chosen, then you will be docked a scholarship the next year. That is the proposal that's on the table. Is it a problem to the degree that it needs something like that added to it as a qualifier if you were to take a grad transfer?
I don't know if it's a problem, but I have zero issue with this proposal. Because some players, yes, were going to spots and actually, you know, trying to pursue a grad degree and getting it. Plenty of others are just going for whatever spot they can get playing time at and then not actually completing that out. This actually brings, particularly because of this, because these players, 95% of the time, will not be playing in the NBA, maybe even higher than that. They're not pro NBA prospects. And so this really goes to the heart of the student athlete ideal. And if you want to go somewhere else and have immediate eligibility, you have to factor in that as well and not just have it be a de facto free agent. Because make no mistake about it. The other the other aspect to all this, and this is where it gets troublesome, is because, so here's how we even get in this situation to begin with. Players, they step on the campus out of high school, out of prep school, you know, by May, June of that spring before their freshman season. They take summer classes. Why do they take these summer classes? If you follow Louisville basketball, Kentucky basketball, and you've ever wondered, like, why are these guys on campus so much? Well, they do this so they can also be part of workouts and they can just kind of get ahead of it. It's all about development, skill development, team development. And even though you can't have an official practice in May, June, July, you can be on, if you're on campus and attending classes, you can be, do individual workouts and just be in the gym, right? Well, the upshot, or as some might describe it, the fallout to that is when you are in these courses every summer, you are also building yourself closer to graduation. And so what happens is you can find yourself, if you are a good enough student and really pushing toward it, you can graduate in 3 years' time and then become a grad transfer and have that option available to you. Well, the other side of this is, like, coaches, they are stuck between a rock and a hard place because they don't want to lose these guys to a grad transfer many, many times. And so they would prefer that their players maybe not be as ambitious in trying to get themselves through school in 3 years' time. And so what happens is you have a behind-the-scenes power struggle where they're not trying to have their guys be able to be grad transfers in such an amount of time. And then that can also, you know, it can lead to a falling out as well. So it is a bit of a fascinating social dynamic. I know that's a long answer, but I have zero issue with this being counted toward 2 years on your scholarship clock as a program. And I expect that it will pass. And when it does, I actually think that it will have an impact. I think we will see fewer grad transfers. And, I don't think that's the worst thing. When I was younger and I'm dumb now, but when I was even dumber, I remember 5-6 years ago thinking, like, maybe this is a good thing for college basketball. You get some, you know, low rent de facto free agency. But frankly, we're going to have more than 700 kids transfer. These are not just grad transfers, just transfers period in college basketball, and like 10 of them matter nationally, maybe 10. Like Blackshear out of Virginia Tech is definitely one of them. The Hauser brothers out of Marquette, both of them are. But if you look and you're like, okay, well, my team just got this transfer, maybe he's going to produce 8 points and 5 rebounds a game. Oh, that might be good, and it could have small impacts. But like players that actually matter nationally, like there are maybe 10 that transfer each year that qualify.
I'm with you on that one, and I do think there's a decent chance that it passes on Friday. My issues with this are, I feel like there's such a two-way street that happens on multiple levels of, the way we talk about transfers, the way we talk about coaches, and sometimes the issues that they will have with dealing with the transfers and dealing with the grad transfers. And the point that you bring up about, you start the clock early, you start the classes early, that then allows you to graduate early, would allow you to, move on somewhere else earlier as well. And that dilemma that's there, it also sort of like, if you're going down the dilemma, it's like, all right, well, isn't the point about, you're supposed to be educating and getting a degree. And now you're sort of like, well, we'd like to educate you and get you a degree, but only if it's beneficial to us, and so it's sort of like what we know is going on in college basketball. But the other part of a two-way street is, they're one-year scholarships renewable. And there's plenty of coaches that are like, look, man, you probably need to look somewhere else. You just don't have a spot here. You've been over-recruited, or you might be happier going somewhere else, and I'm just going to keep it real with you. And there are plenty of guys, Matt, that transfer from the Power 5, Power 6, Top 6, 7 conferences that go the opposite, that go down to the mid-majors or low majors that just don't have the playing time or feel like they've got the ability to be able to excel at one of those big institutions or big schools, and they go down and they get playing time and they can succeed, and now that lower school is actually benefiting from a guy who's been trained at Kentucky or Arizona or Villanova or something like that. I feel like we only look at it from one way.
And so the NCAA tracks this data. I had it in a story in like January. I can't remember the exact numbers for you off the top of my head. The overwhelming amount of players that transfer out of Division One, if not transfer out into Division Two, NAIA, Division Three. It's like the transfers from D1 to D1 are a certain percentage, and it is a non insignificant number. It's like 40% of all the transfers in college basketball are leaving D1 in general. And then the amount of up transfers, yes, it is lower, and usually you'll have grad transfers. Or occasionally you'll have a guy like a Brandon Clark, San Jose State, to Gonzaga, who's one of the shining examples of an up transfer that was just, I mean, he just turned himself into a top 15 pick. It's been amazing. But you're right. It is a bit of a two-way street there, and this is a lot of how the sausage gets made with roster stuff. And we don't have the time to do all this. But like, there's a bigger topic here of how the sport is recruited. Is it being recruited effectively? Is there really nothing wrong with the recruiting model? And it's more that the coaches, and the way, like, you know, because who knows what the percentage is, but probably 90% plus of coaches in college basketball actually played some level of college basketball. And plenty of those coaches, you know, either, you know, third assistants, video coordinators, dobos, like they were playing college basketball less than a decade ago, but the head coaches, maybe some top assistants or second assistants, like maybe the process that was in place when they played is different than now. And so the way the kids communicate now, you know, the advancements in technology and communication, I don't know. There's just, what we know is like the kids should have the option to transfer, but it is amazing to me if you really think about how many man hours and the millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars that get put into recruiting, and so many of these kids are just going to leave that school anyway. So I don't think that the system is broken. I think that if you really want to allow kids to have their freedom of choice, you're always going to have transfer numbers in the hundreds. But this is just sort of the reality of college basketball. And I think, I'm sure you've talked about this on your show. It's not my lane, but I think like college football is approaching the level of discussion point, and I'm going to put crisis in fake quotes here, because about 3-4 years ago, people talked about how there was a transfer crisis in college basketball, and then we really had a more extended conversation about how it just kind of is what it is, and that's not, you know, it's not necessarily great, not necessarily terrible. It's the nature of the beast. I think college football is about hitting that. If it didn't hit it this year with Tate Martell, I bet you it's going to hit it in the next 365 days, because there are going to be conversations about that. And I'm not trying to spin this towards all of college football, but I think that conversation, and then on the heels of what Zion Williamson did and all like the one-and-done stuff, let's see what Trevor Lawrence does at Clemson and how much of the discussion is like, should he even be in college right now? Like, are we forcing him to stay in college 3 years when he's clearly, you know, an NFL-ready, would be the number one pick kind of player in the draft? So my bigger point here is that for the better, we are having smarter evolutionary discussions about player rights and what really, you know, what these 18, 19, 20-year-olds should be allowed to do within the context of their sports.
You went through a number of things that I'm looking at mid-January that I was writing down show topics for. Here's show topic for a Tuesday. Here's the next show topic for a Wednesday in mid-July here in Louisville. So that will all be addressed in wide-ranging form here in the show. What is the impact of Kerry Blackshear then? Is he a Reed Travis type guy that if he goes somewhere, you look at them and say, okay, now are we talking about this team as a top 10 team, depending on what the roster already looks like?
Yeah, I think so. I was wrong on Reed. He was definitely a good player. As Kentucky season is completed and I look back on what he did and what Kentucky was, Reed Travis was Kentucky's third most important player. I would say PJ won, Hero 2, Reed 3, and Reed just barely above Keldon at 4, probably.
I agree with that.
And I thought Reed Travis was going to be Kentucky's most important player. Blackshear, depending on where he goes, I would figure would be a lock to be a top 3 player of value and importance, potentially a number 1 player. Given his style, now, I can't tell you Kentucky's roster off the top of my head. I know they're losing Baker to transfer, and, you know, Kentucky will be in the mix there. What will be interesting is, you know, Blackshear's going to hear from every possible Final
right.
Four, like
yes.
top 25 team, like everyone. And, like, the fact that Travis wasn't, like, Travis had a good year, not a great year. Like, will that be used against Kentucky? I'm sure it will be. And I don't think that's totally valid. Like, I actually think Blackshear's way closer to a player of PJ's style
yes,
than Reed.
Definitely.
So,
yeah, Reed was a guy that you just needed
what,
the bulk.
He is a top 5 transfer, maybe a top 3 transfer that matters. He was good, but he played on a team that, like, like Virginia Tech was good, but it didn't have a lot of like high marquee wins. It's not a program that's like continuously year over year really, really good. So like it wasn't a name. Like he's going to become a bigger name in the next 2 or 4 weeks than he ever was in his entire Virginia Tech career. Wherever he goes, like yes, he has the potential to be a top 25 player in college basketball at his next spot, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Kentucky right now has Nate Sestina as a power forward, and then Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery. So if you're looking at anybody playing in the front court, those are their three right now. So Kerry Blackshear would clearly have some minutes available. Outside of those three guys, the tallest player for Kentucky is Keon Brooks at 6'7". So Blackshear would be needed. I've also said, like, people are looking at Kentucky because there's obviously availability because they only have 9 scholarship people right now, and Louisville sitting at 14 if Wara and Enoch were to return, and VJ King. But he would be like the prototype developed in a lab for Chris Mack's 4-out-1-in type player if he could grab him. Like, I think he would be just absolutely dynamic and perfect for what Chris Mack would like to run offensively if that was the guy inside with 4 guys out on the wing, because he's such a willing passer and a good passer too. And of course he can score and dominate and do those things too.
Yeah, that would be and that would also, like, I mean, I don't know if they're going to land him or anything like that, but if they did, like, that locks Louisville into a preseason top 10 team if that were to happen. But
I'm
probably waiting to see.
All right, Final Four time for you. Matt Norlander from CBS Sports is our guest. 4 quickies. Just tell me the first thing that pops in your head if you are ready.
I never run.
All right. Tiger Woods wins another. Not ever wins again, but now wins another.
Yeah. Are we talking about the fact that he did it or that he could do it again?
No, that he wins 16 okay. or 17 or 18, that he at least wins one more. He does not end his career on 15.
He ends his career on 15.
Okay, you're going to go no. All right.
I'm going to go no, and I'm going to go, he's going to be like Jack. Jack ended with a thrilling one in 86. It was his final one. This is going to be the last one, although I'm covering the PGA Championship next month on Long Island, so I'm not opposed to him proving me wrong.
He knows that course. I hope he's in it. All right, you did like Rick Barnes' candid answers about being the UCLA head coach.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even think he had that in him, but it is the IDGAF stage of Rick Barnes' career, I guess. I'm way in on that. And by the way, if you're a Tennessee, I'll be real quick. But if you're a Tennessee fan, you can be angry, but just go ahead and sit on your hands, because Rick Barnes is your coach, and he just got them, arguably had the best season you ever had as a program there. So just be happy and deal with it.
Also, he essentially did what almost every other coach is doing as well. They talk to him, and if
That's
it doesn't
correct.
Get worked out contractually, they return to the place they are. Difference is,
that is correct.
The fans at Tennessee now can't go around and tell everybody, our coach turned down UCLA. I told you, he wanted to stay here the whole time. He wasn't interested in UCLA. Like, that whole thing, that was just the media reporting that he was interested. He was never going to go to UCLA. Then he says that, now they're like, well, screw you, Rick. All right, my coach actually did want to leave? That's ridiculous. All right, what is going to be more useful in not getting the news covered, a Friday news dump or, for the next 5 more weeks, a Game of Thrones news dump?
A Game of Thrones news dump, although that was super bizarre, because I'm sure you've mentioned it, but yes, you're alluding to the fact that 8 minutes before the Game of Thrones premiere, LSU, LSU put out a statement that Will Wade had been reinstated, and now the athletic director is outgoing. I'm actually going to start calling him Bill Wade, because he is completely he is pulling a little finger on this entire situation. So yeah, he is now Bill Wade as far as I'm concerned. But yes, if you want to get a news dump, you go pre-Thrones.
I love that. All right, and last but not least, we will write this down in pen, and it's the only prediction you can ever make. Who wins next year?
The tournament?
Oh, yeah, tournament. Yep, who wins next year? Yep, and it counts as your official prediction for next year.
Oh, man. Jeez. The tournament?
Mm-hmm.
I will say... I mean, I don't like any of these teams. So I want to say there's not going to... All right, I'll say Michigan State right now, but I can't tell you how much I'm disgusted by that pick.
Yeah, because he'd have to win his 5th game in the tournament, which is
quite the
hurdle for Izzo. So we'll see. Yeah. Matt Norlander from CBS. Matt, I certainly appreciate the time. Thank you, sir. Good catching up with you, and we will talk down the line, buddy.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, there's Matt Norlander, CBS Sports, joining us, talking some college hoops and what we talked about a lot in the first hour, too, and that is, you know, this rule that's going to be voted on Friday of the grad transfers and all of those things that we will be discussing roster maintenance and construction and the likes. So, yeah, but there are a lot of things that he got into there at the end when he was talking about the different, bigger, evolutionary sort of conversations that we're having with the way we view student athletes, the way we view roster construction and scholarships and things like that. There are a lot of there was a lot of meat on the bone with that one. So there that could have been a 45-hour-long conversation with Matt Norlander. That might be the length of your workout, and it can be happening in the luxury and the comfort of your own home. If you are talking with, working with the fitness market, if you're thinking about getting a piece of fitness equipment, whether that is to get into shape, get back into shape, to look and feel the way you want to look and feel. If you're doing that right now and you don't look and feel the way you want to, and it's getting closer and closer, the weather is getting warmer and warmer, then do something about it. Fitness Market, two great locations, just inside the Snyder on Westport Road, and also the Superstore, Plantside Drive at the corner of Watterson Trail. You can check them out online at thefitnessmarket.com. Chris and Pat Wider, 19 years with the Treadmill Medic. They've been in business, local guys, brothers, that they service, deliver, install with the Treadmill Medic all in one. Spotted as a one-stop shop with the fitness equipment and the way that you can maintain that fitness equipment. Not just ellipticals, treadmills, rowing machines, home gyms, bikes, e-bikes, all of that, and the great brands you know and trust as well. We'll take a timeout, come back. Biggest Biscuit Dave School will be our guest, and we'll sing a little song. We'll see.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.